Hey everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of Inside the Ropes here in the main feed. My name is Kenny McIntosh, joined as always by Sondra. Hey Sondra, how are you this fine, well it's not sunny, it's raining in Glasgow, sunny Sunday in theory.
Yeah, it's like almost sunny here, like it's cloudy, but the sun is like really trying, so I appreciate the effort. No, I'm doing all right. My allergies have been driving me crazy, so I like woke up with a mild cough yesterday, and so of course I think I have coronavirus.
Naturally.
It does not seem that I have coronavirus. It seems like I actually felt a lot better when I got an air quality alert on my phone where it's like, hey, if you have allergies and asthma, you're probably fucked today. And I was like, oh, good. Like that explains the situation nicely. But no, I'm doing well. I got to see my family yesterday for the first time in a very long time because my brother had people over outside at like a, you know, a nice distance and whatnot. Over to his house with a pool. So we had a few people there and I got to actually see my nephews who are growing so much. And I'm just that aunt who's like, I just love them so much. And I haven't seen them since January. So it's crazy. Cause like children, when they're small, like they grow so quickly, you know, like I have become that person that's like, look how big you've gotten. But it was just really nice to see them because I haven't in a very long time and this pandemic can, you know, go fuck itself. But at least I had a really nice 4th of July, even if I'm not super patriotic and this country can kind of fuck off sometimes. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Because I've not really said this, I've not really said this as much as you have, but like coronavirus can fuck off.
Yeah,
because
yep,
the amount
officially.
Of stuff that I am not able to do. So as an example, just moved into a new house. I don't have a bed frame. Me and Steve Gunn are sleeping on a mattress on the floor. And because of the fucking coronavirus and the lockdown restrictions, the earliest time we can get a bed frame delivered is next Saturday. 6 more nights. And there's just no way to speed that up. Now then on top of that, I was like, okay, I'm going to go to IKEA because there's a lot of stuff you can get in IKEA. Well, the queue is literally like, I want to say over half a mile long. That was how long the queue was get into IKEA. And then if you order online, so I was like, because we need wardrobes, I need an office desk and to do pod, because right now I'm podcasting on a mattress on the floor, as always.
Uh-huh. I mean, I'm sitting on the floor. I always sit on the floor.
Yeah, but like for a while now, I've been like, be really nice to have a desk and I can sit on the office chair that I've had for fucking years and do this. So I go on the IKEA website and I find the desk that I like, and you can't, it says available for delivery, but not in stock in Glasgow. And I'm like, okay, well that surely means that they can just ship it from somewhere in the UK. No, apparently you can only get a delivery in Glasgow if they have it in the Glasgow store.
Oh, so they can't like order it from a company and send it to the store?
Apparently not. So then with the wardrobes, they have those in stock in Glasgow, but if you try to order them online, not only do they... So they charge you like a £40 delivery fee. So that's like, what, $60? $55 delivery fee.
Which for furniture, I mean, like furniture is big. See, hear my voice going? What is this?
I do, that's
anyway,
weird.
Go on.
But like, I'm talking about like for one small office desk, £40.
Oh yeah, that's a lot.
So... But okay, I was okay. Do you know what? I said to Steve Gunn, I was like, see for the wardrobes, let's just do it. Let's just pay the £40 because we need the wardrobes. Let's just get them. My clothes are still in a suitcase. And the £40 delivery fee to get the furniture from somewhere that's 20 minutes from where I am, the earliest delivery date is July 26th.
What?
So now I need to go to IKEA tomorrow and I'm going to stand there for like 2 hours to get in... to see if they might have the wardrobes, because they might not have them. they might be out of stock. And then if they're out of stock, you can order them with like a, they're going to be available, you know, order them now as soon as the back of stock we send them to you. It's like, these are not in stock, you cannot order them. And then if you
that's frustrating. There's no rain checks at all?
Nope.
I've never really dealt with IKEA.
I've always had a good experience with them when I could just go in and get the shit that I want and leave. But now it's becoming, and it's like the thing, I don't want to say, if you want to stand in a queue to buy like a tank top for £5 from 6 in the morning, do you? I don't care. But like, I was looking at that IKEA
queue.
I'm
just not about that life.
I'm not about that life either. But like, I was looking at that IKEA queue on Friday and I was going, Steve Gunn actually said it. He was like, how many people in that queue do you think are just like here for a wee day out as opposed to actually needing any furniture? And I think it's probably about 80%.
Yeah.
And the people like,
well,
because
like people go to IKEA like as an experience, right? Like that's a thing people do.
I mean, I go for the chips and gravy or french fries and gravy, which is,
I've never been inside an IKEA.
Their
it's
gravy
one of those
like
mythical
cocaine.
Things to me. I'm trying to think where the closest one to here is. I think, like, I know there's one on the east side of the state. I don't know if there's one any closer than that. So it always seemed like, especially when I was younger, it was one of those like, ooh, we're going to take a trip to IKEA, which is like a day out, you know?
I was gonna ask you for your zip code on the air. I was like, well, no, I can't. IKEA,
you're Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Let's
just
see where your nearest
that.
One is. Okay, hold on. Store locator. Where is it? Let's see where your nearest store is.
Maybe one opened closer. I feel like that might have been an event sometime in the past decade.
Find your IKEA store. Here we go. Okay, in Michigan. Is Michigan MI?
Yes.
Okay, there's only one in Michigan. It's in Canton.
Yeah, okay. So it's on the other side of the state.
How far is Canton from you?
Good question. I think it's probably a couple hours.
Yeah, it's not worth it. It's like, if it was like an hour, I'd go... It's a good trip, but like not for 2 hours.
I'm finding out what Canton is. I don't know.
Oh well.
It's 116 miles away.
It is not worth that whatsoever. Anyway, so the whole thing is, it's like we've moved into this flat, and like there's so many things you can't get because you can't order anything online. Because it could take so long to get here. And then you can't go to places because when you go, so many people are trying to get in. So...
Can you not order on, like, on Amazon or something like that? I mean, I know Amazon is big and evil and we shouldn't support them, but, like, I do...
Oh, no, I have
sometimes
no, I have no
break
problem.
Down because,
look,
you know.
I'm Amazon Prime for days. Like, I'm, like... Yeah. But, like, the problem is just the range for what... Because all the furniture that I have, like, in the bedroom and in the office is black, so it has to be black.
Oh, okay.
To just because, you know, otherwise it's like it will give you like hives because of the different colors. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So anyway, we should talk about wrestling because that is what we're here to
probably.
Do. In terms of wrestling, I mean, we had a big week this week with NXT and AEW on Wednesday, which we will get to. I was going to ask you though, because I don't know if we talked about this on any of our podcasts, but. How are you feeling about the Match Extreme Rules, the horror show, of Bray Wyatt, the run Bray Wyatt in Hawaiian shirt, facing Braun Strowman in a swamp fight? How do you feel about that?
This is breaking news to me. I'm here for it, just from that description. I need to really check out some things that have been happening on SmackDown, apparently, don't I?
So basically... the old Hawaiian Bray Wyatt is back.
Like my original love of my life, Bray Wyatt, before he got all shitty?
Love of your life, Bray Wyatt, is back, and he has challenged Braun Strowman to a swamp fight.
I am so excited about a swamp fight. Like, is this going to be a cinematic experience swamp fight or a maggots on the ring swamp fight?
I get the sense it's going to be a cinematic experience.
I am here
Rules.
For it.
Well, I
want it very badly.
They have changed the... They have changed the name of the show to Extreme Rules, the horror show. So it feels like...
I heard something about this. Like, why are they calling it the horror show?
Well, because I think the swamp fight is supposed to be like a horror thing.
Extreme
I do love
Rules, the horror show.
I do love
like, is it Extreme Rules, the horror show? Is that the official name of this event?
I think so.
That's so funny. I feel like this is like when we got tables, ladders, chairs, and stairs, and everyone was just like, why?
Or but no, apparently... It's, this can't be the name of it. The horror show at Extreme Rules.
It's WWE, Kenny. Would you put it past them?
I do love the like
Horror show at Extreme Rules.
I love when people get really angry at them calling it something like this. Like, it does not matter. Like, it's a pandemic.
It just makes me laugh.
Yeah, it's just. I feel like now they are just trolling to give you like a funny.
It feels like just a dumb thing to do, you know? Like, why not? Maybe it'll get more people talking, like us, talking about the name of the show and how silly it is. That's advertising for them.
Yeah, that's the way it seems to be. Also, it is rumored that Tessa Blanchard is WWE bound. What do you think? Do you want to see her in WWE? Like, do you have? I mean, Finn was talking on the Power Slam podcast, but he has, be warned to any company that hire her, given all the kind of issues that she's had. Is she someone you want to see turn up in WWE, whether it's NXT or main roster?
I prefer it be main roster than NXT. Yeah, actually. I mean, like, she seems like kind of a piece of work to work with, but I don't know her personally, and I don't know, like, her side of a lot of the stories, so I'm like, I can only speculate based on what's reported, right? And TNA putting out a statement about her is, of course, going to be in TNA's interest and not hers. This is the company that hired Ronda Rousey and Brock Lesnar. They have people there who are difficult to work with. This is not new for them, right? Like, that's something I don't hear many people mention, is like, WWE works with some pretty difficult individuals. They've had Randy Orton on their roster for how long, and how many problems has he had? Like, he seems to have kind of mellowed out and been less of a terrible person in the past few years. But, like, you know what I mean, though? It's not like she's going to be... Like, I don't think... they're not going to put up with her bullshit, I'm sure. Like, I'm sure that they will be like, hey, either you're going to do what we tell you to do or you're not going to be here anymore. But I think the story possibilities with Tessa Blanchard and WWE are pretty great. And that gets us closer to that dream match of Tessa Blanchard versus Charlotte Flair, which, like, I'm sorry, but that could sell out pay-per-views and things, right? Like, assuming we could have crowds ever again in
our lives.
That could headline a Mania. Absolutely, that could headline a Mania. And I think that would be brilliant, honestly. Like, if they build that story correctly, that could be absolute money. So, yeah, like, I want to see what she does. And I want to see more women in WWE who are very good at what they do. And Tessa Blanchard is very good at what she does. I might not agree with some of the things she's done in the past and some of the names she's called people. And if she, you know... I would hope that she has an attitude change. I would hope that she has grown and learned from some of her past bullshit. And if she hasn't, then it's probably going to be a really difficult locker room situation. But, like, from an entertainment perspective, absolutely, I want to see Tessa Blanchard in WWE. More than in AEW, I think. Like, just because I want Tessa Blanchard versus Charlotte Flair. Like, that's one of my dream matches that's out there that, like, seems attainable now.
Well, I also wonder, like, if you're, like, a Tessa Blanchard, for example, and you get, like, say you get, you know, the big money offers from AEW or WWE, and AEW is a very easy schedule. Like, you could have a very nice life around the AEW schedule. But, like, I don't get the sense that, like, if you're a woman and you sign with AEW, that there's really a lot to sink your teeth into and a lot of challenges and a lot of... Whereas, like, if you're a woman and you sign with WWE, you're, like... There's Charlotte, there's Sasha, there's Bayley, there's Io, there's Asuka, there's, you know, what if Ronda comes back? What if, when Becky comes back? There's all these people that you could kind of see, or you could even see some challenges of, like, getting a good match at Nia Jax again or whatever. So I think that
good
there's...
Good luck.
I'm curious to see how that kind of plays, because does Tessa want the easier schedule, or does she want... the more appealing roster to wrestle within? And that's going to be... I mean, she's also got her dad at AEW, which could either be something that she wants or doesn't want. So there's probably going to be a lot of kind of concessions either way that she would need to make. But, I mean, she's in a pretty great spot right now, because there's not really been a woman as good as she is, a free agent, who is able to kind of go to either place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, she's in a great spot. And... I mean, I wonder if the travel schedule of WWE is going to be daunting for her. I don't know. Like, for some people, they get there and they're just like, this is not what I wanted to do. Like, I know what I signed up for, but I didn't realize it was going to be like this. So, I mean, who knows? Like, who knows? We'll see. But I think that she's so incredibly talented, and the main roster of WWE needs more women who are incredibly talented to, I don't know, be in main event level stories, because it can't just be Charlotte all the time. Well, and Charlotte's out right now. So, I mean, I think Bayley's killing it, and I think Sasha's killing it, and I think Asuka's killing it. Like, they have some awesome people there, but more awesome people is better, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's get into the Wednesday night shows. NXT put on the Great American Bash, which was in no way a reactionary show to Fyter Fest.
No, not at all. I'm sure it was like a complete coincidence that Dusty Rhodes was all over the opening video intro, right? Did that make you feel gross? Because it made me feel gross.
Yeah, it did. I think that Cody handled it really well by sort of saying, like, you know, look, I'm not going to be angry about it, whatever. And, like, they do own the intellectual property. They can do what they want with it. I think the problem is that, like...
It's such a direct fuck you, though.
But, I mean, in some ways, what Cody is doing, I think... Because I've been around Cody enough. Cody's not someone who gets really angry about petty stuff. Like, he's just not that guy. He's very chilled. He's very, like, cerebral. I think he probably takes it as a compliment, because not only is his... And he said this, like, his dad's creation is getting another platform in a positive light. Because, you know, they're basically wanking off the name of Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
Which is great for him, because that's what his dad would have wanted. But also, it's really a big compliment to how much Cody and AEW must be getting to them.
Yeah, that's true. Because they wouldn't be reacting if it didn't bother them so much that, like, AEW was doing so well.
There's a reason that, like, I can only ever remember one time when there was a TNA reference on WWE TV. And I'm talking when it was TNA, not like when Kurt Angle did that funny thing when he was GM. But, like, remember in the...
Did they reference it with AJ?
No, it was the Cena Punk thing, I remember. Do you remember when it was like the Raw before Money in the Bank 2011, and, like, you know, Cena would be fired if he didn't win the match?
Oh, when he said he would go to TNA or Ring of Honor?
No, he said, "I'll go somewhere else, brother," and basically, you know, indicated he would go to TNA. So, but, like, TNA was such a kind of nothing threat to them that they never brought it up. And I was kind of... So, I mean, NXT won the night. So, let me ask you this. So, NXT had, I think it was, like, 792,000 viewers, and AEW had, like, 740,000 or whatever. So, NXT won the night overall. AEW won the 18 to 49 demo, which is very attractive to advertisers and stuff. From the two shows, did you think there was a clear winner over one over the other? Was there a show you enjoyed a lot more than the other? Just generally, what were your thoughts?
I thought they were pretty even, honestly. Like, I enjoyed aspects of both shows. I think it dipped a little bit on both shows. I think NXT dipped a little bit more than AEW did. Like, but I don't know. I thought they both put on really good shows, and I can't remember what the numbers are that you just read to me, because I don't know. Numbers
792,000 and 740. So it wasn't that high.
Which is not much of a difference, but also that's more viewers total than we've had in a while, right?
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, I think it's...
Because I remembered it being in like the 600,000s before.
Yeah, they're starting to get more, which you would expect if they're both hyping up these big kind of pay-per-view caliber shows.
Yeah, which is good. Like, it makes me happy to see that more people are watching the wrestling on a Wednesday night. I guess for me, there was no real, like, clear winner. Like, NXT had some stuff. I think I liked AEW better as a show. I think it flowed better, but I think AEW just generally I've been enjoying more, so I think I'm a little bit more invested in some of that stuff. Plus, Fyter Fest was built a lot more in advance than Great American Bash, because Great American Bash is 100% not just a reactionary thing to Fyter Fest. So, I don't know. I think AEW flowed a little bit better for me, but no complaints either way. The wrestling was great all around.
Yeah, I thought they were kind of even. I mean, I thought Dexter Lumis and Roderick Strong was one of the dullest matches I've ever seen in my life.
It was very boring.
I could not, because I was lucky that, like, I'd heard that the match was dull, like, and I almost, like, had it as a challenge to watch them, and it was like, I heard it 16 minutes, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna put my phone down and I'm gonna try and watch this match for as long as I can and see how long it takes to get bored. So I waited as long as I physically could, and I looked at how long I'd gotten 4.5 minutes in.
Yeah.
Before I was just like, oh my God. I also hate strap matches, so that's
I do
like.
too. I think that's what really hindered them. Like, I would have preferred to just see Roderick Strong versus Dexter Lumis, but it being a strap match, just like, ugh, I just don't like strap matches because it all just becomes like punch, kick, strap.
It does become that. Well, let's go through all the big stuff on Great American Bash. So we opened the show with NXT with the elimination match to see who becomes number one contender for the NXT Women's title. It was Tegan Nox, Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai, Mia Yim. I think Candice goes out first, then it's Mia, and it comes down to Dakota Kai and Tegan Nox. Tegan gets the win. It goes about 20 minutes. What did you make of the match? And do you think the order of how they kind of did it worked well? Talk me through your thoughts.
I had mixed feelings about this match. I don't think I liked it as much as some people did. It felt kind of weird in terms of pacing for me. And there was one spot that was, I think, earlier on where I can't remember if Mia and Candace were fighting or Mia was fighting somebody, and she just like took a bump outside of the ring, like went through the ropes, but like no one hit her or kicked her or anything. She just
I mean,
took a
it wasn't like Gail Kim eliminating herself in the Battle Royal bad, but it was definitely noticeable.
But it was noticeable, right? Like, I rewound it to be like, did I miss something? Was it an editing situation? Like, I just wasn't sure. So that was weird. And there were a couple things like that in the match. But overall, I liked it. I thought Mia Yim, other than the phantom bump for no reason, I thought she looked great. Like, I thought she looked super dominant and awesome. Like, one of the best performances we've seen from her until the finish when she apparently, like, just forgot to try to keep wrestling. I don't really know. Like, she got rolled up. But yeah, I mean, I kind of liked it coming down to Tegan Nox and Dakota Kai because obviously they have a history and it's a way to do that without just doing Tegan Nox versus Dakota Kai again. I thought the wrestling was really good. Tegan Nox winning was cool. Like, Tegan Nox is one of those people that I almost feel about her the way I felt about Finn Balor in NXT, where I'm like, I know she's really good and I know she's great and I understand that they want to be behind her. But I just don't know what to cling to there, other than like, she's great. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do know what you mean. For me, like, I liked the match, but I think that we've talked on this podcast kind of ad nauseum about how the Dakota Kai Tegan Nox feud was just booked so badly after the turn, which was so great. And I think
Which is
that
not a
was.
slight on either of them, because I think they did what they could, but like the booking and storytelling was just atrocious in that whole feud.
Yeah, like, there's nothing that you can do if like you're booking a 3-minute match straight away, like to make that
And
good.
then
Like, it's
Tegan
just.
won.
I
Like,
know,
what?
but like I feel like the drama of the match was sort of dependent on that story, and I don't think that story was as good as it anywhere near as good as it could have been. So I thought it was nice to see Tegan Nox get a win, but I don't think that she feels as big as she should feel, and I'm hoping that maybe the match with Io is going to bring that out. But
You know who
yeah,
she feels like?
who?
She feels like Adam Page at the beginning of AEW when they had him booked against Jericho.
Oh yeah, before they had like a proper character.
Yeah, before he started drinking.
Yeah, I mean, maybe just Tegan Nox should start drinking.
Maybe.
I'm drinking right now, so why not?
I'm not because I've been awake for an hour, but
But we'll see how it goes. The part you might crack a beer open halfway through. You never know.
I mean, honestly, I would have been tempted to like have a beer for breakfast, but I don't have any right now and I need to go to the store after this.
Well, I mean, that is a priority as soon as we get off this.
Exactly.
I wanted to talk a little bit about Timothy Thatcher and Oney Lorcan, and I'm opening this up as a conversation, right? But this was a very good match, right? And I
I would like to
love.
change my sexuality to Oney Lorcan versus Timothy Thatcher. This match aroused me.
I love the shade of red that Oney Lorcan was wearing. Like, it was
It was
the
beautiful.
sexiest red ever.
This
However,
match was just absolute sex for
it was
me.
absolutely. The
Loved it.
only issue for me, right, was. And now, I'm more of a sports entertainment type guy, so I get that it's my thing. I was watching the match with Steve Gunn, and we were kind of going, you know that these guys essentially have no chance on the main roster, right? Because there's so many people that, like, if it was 2000, they would have a good chance, right? Because in 2000, you have Steve Blackman, who is
In
over.
2000, Chris Benoit is getting a lot of
Exactly.
chances.
So, like, Timothy Thatcher and Oney Lorcan would be absolutely fine.
I mean, give me Timothy Thatcher over Perry Saturn any day.
Any day of the week. I think when I was watching this match, the thing that kind of struck me was, and I thought it was very good, so I'm not dissing the match, it felt like we were watching two guys who kind of do a similar thing. And I feel like they're both at their strongest when they are against more charismatic people. So, like, when Thatcher was against Matt Riddle, or when Oney was with Danny Burch against, like, Undisputed Era. Like, I feel like when they're with, like, bigger personalities, it works more for me. And that's not a slight on them. It was just a kind of thing that I thought about when I was watching it. But I liked the match a lot. I thought it was good. It was very physical. And I think Thatcher could have a shot on the main roster because he looks a bit insane. But I know
Oney Lorcan.
He does. I don't know. I just get this feeling that, like, with Thatcher, you can see that they are, like, with Oney Lorcan, it's like Oney Lorcan's the guy. He's like the fuck buddy that you have, right? Who you never quite take the chance to date. Like, you go, and then whenever you have, you know, have sex, you go, why do we not date? He's cool, but you never do, and he just remains the kind of buddy
because you just don't want to go there.
And I feel like that's how WWE feel about Oney Lorcan. They're like, we like you, and we're giving you stuff, but we don't fully believe. Whereas with Thatcher,
you don't want to, like, be in a relationship.
Yeah, whereas, like, Thatcher, they're like, we're going to create a match for you. We're going to have you beat Matt Riddle. Like, we are going to really, you know, give you every bell and whistle possible. Does any of that make sense?
It does. I mean, I can understand what you're saying about the match, but I couldn't disagree more, like, about them being too similar and it not working. That's exactly what worked about the match for me, because the whole point, right, is that Timothy Thatcher has been doing Thatch as Thatch can, and he's been, you know, talking about catch wrestling, and he's been talking about how to grind people down and how to do holds and submissions, which, you know, is just, like, 100% up my alley. I'm getting excited just talking about it. And Oney Lorcan is very similar, right? Like, he's not going to necessarily be able to out-wrestle Timothy Thatcher, but he's more of, like, a hitter, like a striker dude. But they are very similar in style. So it was kind of like, who's going to be able to outwork who? And that's the kind of match that I just love, right? Like, that, it's similar to Drew Gulak versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. It's that kind of, like, we have a similar style, like, who's going to be better at it? Like, who's going to come out on top tonight? And then just with all of the transitions and holds and strikes that they do, it was just incredible. So, I mean, this obviously 100% up my alley. But, I mean, I feel like Timothy Thatcher could have a chance on the main roster. Like, I try not to care about the main roster. I don't watch NXT thinking about the main roster. If I think about the main roster, I get sad. So I try not to get sad, because there's enough in the world making me sad. And so thinking about WWE's main roster just adds to my drama. But, like, if they decide to get behind him, of course he could do well there. He's great. He's awesome. We've seen him in, you know, promo vignette segments doing his, I don't know. Like, I really, really liked this. And I think Oney Lorcan's so great. Like, he's so great. And it bothers me that he's always just kind of the dude who's going to come out there and lose. Like, he's kind of in that Tyler Breeze spot right now where, you know, he's going to lose. And it's just a big bummer because he's so good. And I mean, I know that it's not, like, a real crowd, but the crowd chanting for Oney Lorcan I thought was an interesting choice. Like, I feel like I have to analyze the crowd differently now than when it's, like, real people.
Because
not that the wrestlers aren't real people, but, like, you know how it's orchestrated, right? Like, yeah. Who they're going to cheer for and all that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, because you need to look at the crowd, because you know that's what you're being told you should cheer or boo. So if they're cheering Oney Lorcan, that is the directive from above.
Yeah, because, like, obviously it's orchestrated, right? Like, they're in, can you imagine, like, what if they had been trying to get Roman Reigns over in this era? It would have been such a different story, right? Like, they would have had a crowd cheer him. It would have been adorable. But yes, I feel like I need to analyze the crowd a little bit more now in a different way than I would if it's, like, regular, normal, off the street civilian people. But the fact is they know that Oney Lorcan is, like, the baby face that everyone loves. They know that he's, like, the underdog dude that everyone's going to cheer. And that's what they're telling us that he is by having the crowd react the way they do and, like, sing his song to him and chanting Oney and all that kind of stuff, which does warm my heart in a way. But I also feel like they're just trying to get false hope for me. And I'm going to be like, maybe you'll love him someday. Like, I feel like it's when you're in that relationship and it's like, oh, you've promised that we'll be together someday, or you've promised that we'll be happy and like someday I'll love you and like you're just clinging to that hope. That's how I feel about Oney Lorcan.
Well, good luck with that, and I hope it works out.
He's just so wonderful.
We also had on the show Rhea Ripley against Robert Stone Aaliyah, and if she lost, she would have to join the Robert Stone brand. And she won. It was comedy. It was fun enough. I can't help but feel though that Rhea Ripley should be doing more or feeling a bigger program. But it was fun. I don't know. I left it kind of feeling like Rhea Ripley should be doing bigger things.
I just don't know what bigger things Rhea Ripley can be doing at this point if you don't want her near the title, right? Because they want to keep her kind of out of that picture right now. They don't necessarily want to have her just fight Io Shirai again.
I'd like to see Rhea and Candice LeRae in a program. Like that to
Yeah,
me
no,
would
I'd
be
be here for it,
much
absolutely. I think
more
that'd
up
be
my
great.
alley.
And that would mean, you know, Candice would get to be wrestler Candice and not Johnny's wife Candice, which I would appreciate quite a lot. Because I'm real tired of her just being Johnny's wife and damsel in distress girl. Not that she was on this show, but I'm still salty about the mixed tag. Let's be honest. I'm not over it yet. It made me so mad. But yeah, I mean, Rhea Ripley, this is not a bad like filler thing for her to do though, right? Like, and I think the way she looked so dominant in the match was definitely a testament to how they feel about her. Like, they made her into a monster fighting off two people and whatnot. I mean, I know it was Aaliyah and Robert Stone, but I think I don't know, I thought the way they did it was really fun, actually. I thought Robert Stone was brilliant. Like him coming out, because I know that he is actually a wrestler. Like, I know that he is capable of wrestling, but as like a buffoon manager guy coming out in his robe and like has his mouth guard and all the stuff, and like him just being like, no, I can take this. Like, I can start this match. I can totally do it. And Aaliyah's like, all right, do what you're gonna do, dude. And then he immediately gets annihilated. I thought it was all a lot of fun, and it did make Rhea Ripley look good. Like, she is definitely.
She did look dominant, for sure.
Yeah, like she's better than a mid-card program, but like if she's gonna be in a kind of mid-card or like side story, they're making her look like a killer. So I don't have any complaints about it.
I think the reason that it kind of just feels a little bit hollow for me is that she lost at WrestleMania, and like I was kind of hoping that the idea of her loss would be because there's a plan, and like
And then
that's
it
what's
ended up not being a plan. It was just
yeah,
Charlotte.
like it was just Charlotte won. See, I think they missed an opportunity there. I know they can revisit it. It's not like she's, you know, she's fine. But yeah, I think especially given the fact that there was three women's matches on this show, and the
Yeah.
Rhea Ripley one was by far the least consequential one. And she probably shouldn't be third on that list.
Probably not, but I think it almost speaks to the strength of NXT's women's division at this point because they had, you know, obviously they had Io Shirai and Sasha Banks in the main event that we'll talk about. That was incredible. But then I really liked having the four-way women's match to open the show too. It just showed how many women they have that are incredibly talented. And it was kind of cool to see that because everyone was involved in their own thing. And like Rhea Ripley's great, she's amazing, but she's just not the person that they want in the title picture right now. And sometimes that has to be okay. Like, as long as they're not forgetting about her or like just keeping her off the show or, you know, running her into the ground and like booking her in 50-50 losses. Like, there was a part of me that wanted to see Rhea Ripley have to join the Robert Stone brand because I thought that could just be real funny. Like, who knows what shenanigans could ensue with that.
It just kind of, it felt a bit like The Rock facing Billy Gunn.
I was actually thinking the same thing. I was thinking this feels like The Rock and Billy Gunn, except for Aaliyah and Robert Stone are delightful and don't just have a butt.
Billy Gunn had a very good arse, Sandra, and you should give it a bit more respect.
I mean, it is a very good arse, but when your entire character is I have a butt, it's hard to really cling on to that.
But the main event of NXT, Io Shirai and Sasha
What
Banks.
did you think of Robert Stone like being involved in the match and stuff? Like in all of his buffoonery?
Like, I think he's funny. I do think he's funny. I don't know. I think if the baby face here was Tegan Knox, I'd have probably been far more into it. I think the Ripley thing, like, I'm probably just bringing repressed feelings of the WrestleMania loss into this, and there's nothing
Okay.
he could have done to fix that. But I think he's very good, and the thing that he's doing, which is, I mean, he's playing like a kind of, in some ways, a modern day Jim Cornette, kind mm-hmm. of type character. You'll see all the clips of like Cornette fighting Baby Doll back in the day and all that. And I think there's a role for people like that, because if Robert Stone was to be, you know, just a wrestler on NXT, I mean, he'd be like 55th of importance, you know, 55th guy of importance. But uh-huh. he's found a niche for himself and found a character that gets him over. Aaliyah, I mean, one day she's going to get over, Sandra. We are going to be here for it when it happens.
How I was just giving you my Oney Lorcan speech about like holding out false hope?
Are we here again? Has the train stopped again?
I think we might be. Aaliyah's gotten better.
She's definitely gotten better.
I think this is a good role for her, like being kind of, you know, a lower card, like comedy act and whatnot. I just think Robert Stone is brilliant.
Well, that's the difficulty for Aaliyah.
This is exactly the kind of thing I wanted to see Malcolm Bivens be doing on NXT instead of just being like, I have two dudes.
Well, that's the thing for Aaliyah, because
if Robert Stone's here to take up that mantle, then I think he's just doing an incredible job, and I'm so happy to see like a manager character getting involved in stuff and being really effective, because it adds more variety to the show.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I guess the thing for Aaliyah is because Robert Stone's so good and he's so funny and he's so charismatic that like, it's difficult for her to kind of keep up with that.
She could literally be anyone.
It could be like anybody. But I mean,
Caden Carter or Tenora Conchi or anyone could be in this role.
And the other thing about Robert Stone that's a kind of good wrinkle is that like, if you look at AEW and the managers in AEW, like Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, Taz, Jake Roberts, like they're all guys who like, they don't take bumps. Mm-hmm. And they don't get punishment. They're just like kind of the elder statesman mouthpieces. And Robert Stone is not kind of throwing his name into that hat. He's doing something different. So I think he should definitely be applauded for that as well. So good for him.
Sure.
Let's not waste any time talking about Dexter Lumis and Roderick Strong. It was fucking dire. Dexter Lumis won, though.
So here's the thing about Dexter Lumis and Roderick Strong. I have nothing to say about the match. It was bad. there was a strap. I didn't like it. I've been really into this story, though, so I was looking forward to this match. Like, and I think some of the stuff they probably did was fine. It just kept going, and there was no variety to it, and they just it was punch, kick, strap, like I said before.
Didn't build to anything.
It didn't build to anything, and I've been really kind of into the whole Roderick Strong has trauma from being kidnapped by Dexter Lumis, and for some reason Dexter Lumis is a babyface, which makes no sense because he's, like, kidnapped and tortured people. He's really the modern-day stalker, is what I'm saying. Like, he really is. They're the same character, which is kind of great for me. I wish Dexter Lumis had some killer face paint and a mustache. Like, he does have the mustache and everything. Like, he's, I don't know. I just think he's incredible. But, like, is there anything they could have done to make this more interesting? Would a regular match have been better? Like, I know they were trying to go for Roderick Strong ran away from Dexter Lumis, and that's why we need to have a strap match for some reason. But, like,
I don't think there's anything they could have done. Because
making it a strap match was the worst decision, right?
Well, because like the difficulty is that the Dexter Lumis character is something that you need to be so careful with to try and get it over. And if Dexter Lumis is a serial killer, which is essentially his thing, I don't want to see him in a 16-minute match that just goes and doesn't have anything about it. And then Roderick Strong is such a great like technical wrestler that he's just... I don't think there's anything they could have done.
Have been a better idea than a strap?
Yeah, a cage would definitely have been better.
Like a cage without escape rules? A cage that has to be pinfall or submission?
Yeah, like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't think if they had a cage match, we'd be sitting here gushing. But I think we would have definitely wanted to at least discuss it for a couple of minutes rather than want to move on as we do now.
Do we think that Dexter Lumis is a bad wrestler? Is that what we're saying? I don't think he's a bad wrestler.
I don't think he's a bad wrestler. I think the problem is that he is such a specific character that he's going to have to find a way to wrestle in a very specific way. Do you know what I mean? Like when Daniel Bryan, when he started bringing his character into his matches in WWE, like, and he was a great wrestler before, but he managed to immediately just kind of bring in his yes stuff, bring in all his, the elements of his character. I don't know how you bring in, I am a murderer.
babyface murderer.
He really is Barry Windham, isn't he? Maybe he just needs to become like the Undertaker, like just
he's
like
blonde and everything.
Sure, and I agree.
He looks like Steve Austin. He really looks exactly like Steve Austin.
Do you know the weirdest thing about Dexter Lumis? I want to double check that I'm right here. Wait, Dexter Lumis, and this is harrowing. He is only 1 year older than me.
He looks about our age, doesn't he?
No, he does not. He looks 44 if he looks a day.
I don't know. I'm bad at ages.
Anyway, the main event of the show, though, was Io Shirai and Sasha Banks, and it was fucking great. This match...
This was awesome. I enjoyed it a lot.
All the bells and whistles. You had Bayley out there at ringside. She's supporting her pal. You had amazing wrestling with Sasha and Io because you... Like, you kind of... You couldn't really pick who was going to win. And that was what made it so good. And then
was this title or non-title? This was non-title,
it was non-title,
right?
Non-title. Which then made you think Sasha might win it, because if it's
that's
non-title...
That's the thing, like, because you didn't think that Sasha was going to win the NXT title, but, like, main roster people, when they come to NXT, tend to win, right? Like, unless it's Tyler Breeze.
Yeah, most of them tend to win. Charlotte all the time.
Yes.
But yeah, they did a really good job here. And then I thought the bit at the end with Asuka when she's like got the belt and throws the mist in her face. And then they did the thing, which was really clever, where they had the roll-up that only got a two count. Because, you know, the idea that they're going to get her in a roll-up. But they didn't. It was a kind of false thing. And then she finally gets up with the moonsault and wins. And it was a massive win for Io Shirai. But the Asuka thing totally played into the Sasha match at Extreme Rules. It was great.
That's the thing. Asuka didn't show up just out of nowhere for no reason. She's, you know, in a feud with Sasha Banks, so it made sense.
Yeah, it all made sense, and it was clever, and I just think they knocked this out of the park. Like, NXT deserved to win the night based on this match alone. This match was just so good. And it was like, you know how sometimes you think about the idea of a main roster person facing an NXT person, and a lot of times it doesn't live up to the hype?
Uh-huh.
This lived up to the hype.
It did. It lived up to the hype a lot. I loved this. I obviously loved this. I thought Sasha and Bayley like had their pre-match promo too, where they were just like, "We made NXT and like we're back" and all that stuff, which I thought was really funny. I love it so much, Kenny. Like, they wrestled so well. They wrestled each other so well, and that's not a surprise because they're both very good at wrestling. So it's not a surprise that they'd be good at wrestling each other. But I thought the shenanigans and the stuff at the end worked so, so well too. And Io Shirai drop kicking Bayley into the glass and just being like, "No, go away, you evil mad Karen woman."
evil mad Karen woman.
Like, all of it worked for me so, so well. And, like, the way the end was orchestrated could have gone very, very wrong. Like, the timing of everything had to be perfect, and it was. Because if you, like, one of the things I appreciated about the most, actually, was if you see Asuka spit the mist into Sasha's face. I almost said the maced. I'm all excited and words are hard. But Asuka spits the mist into Sasha's face, and Sasha is like covering up her face because she can't see, right? Like, because this is horrifying that this has happened to her, and her hair's all in her face. And if you notice when Io Shirai does the roll up, the ref wouldn't be able to see that Sasha's face is green, like the way everything is orchestrated. And even when Sasha kicks out and she's rolling around on the ground, her hair's all in her face. And then when Io pins her, she covers Sasha's head as well.
So, I mean, the attention to detail was great.
Little details like that, because otherwise the ref might be like, "Why is your face green? Something has clearly occurred here." You know, it's like when someone counts a pinfall and there's like a broken guitar in the ring for a Jeff Jarrett match, right? And you're like, something must have happened here. Like, there's something amiss. Or like the boombox for the headbangers. But I thought they orchestrated this so well. And, you know, Asuka just kind of popping out from under the ring. I didn't expect Asuka to come. Like, I didn't expect Asuka to be there. Why would she be there? She's not part of this. But when she showed up, I knew why she was there. I knew why she was mad at Sasha. It was perfect. It was great. And I think that she was a good foil to Bayley too, you know, because Bayley's just being the prick on the outside. I loved all of it. And Io Shirai got to win. Io Shirai got to beat someone from the main roster who, yeah, like, Sasha's been all of the champions, right? Well, except SmackDown. I don't think she's been SmackDown champion. But she's been, like, a bunch of champions. And Io Shirai is the NXT champion. And she's like, "This is my domain. I am here. I run this place now." Sasha tried to yell during the match, like, "I made NXT. I made NXT." And Io's like, "Fuck off, bitch. I'm here now."
The other thing for me that was really great about it was by the end, I was kind of fantasy booking stuff in my own head. I was like, are Io and Asuka going to get a tag title shot? Like, there's all these things I was thinking about in my mind. I saw, I think it was Carl in our Facebook community, was talking about what if, you know, Sasha won at the pay-per-view, and then they were double champions, and then Io and Asuka won the tag titles. Like, it was all these kind of scenarios that are out there, and I think that when wrestling's good, it gets you so excited that you start imagining scenarios.
Yeah, like, I don't know if I'd want them to necessarily win the tag titles, just because I like Io in NXT and I like Asuka on Raw, and mixing those just always seems like a recipe for disaster, because it always seems to go horribly, horribly wrong, except for if you're Kevin Owens. So, like, I'd prefer it be more of a one-off thing, probably, but I understand, like, the possibilities are great. I do want to see Io and Asuka versus Sasha and Bayley. I think that could be a lot of fun. Are we getting that next week? Have they announced that?
They haven't announced it, but I assume we'll be getting it soon. I hope so.
I mean, it seems like a logical conclusion, right? And that would be a big match, because it sounds like the ratings went NXT's way because of this main event, right? Like, the AEW main event was not as exciting as this one, I would say. And I watched NXT just, like, yesterday. I finished this, right? Like, Saturday morning, and I still hadn't seen spoilers. I expected Sasha Banks to win this match. Like, I saw a lot of people praising Sasha, but I didn't see any, like, definitive result of anything. And I didn't have the Asuka appearance spoiled for me, and I didn't know that Io Shirai won. So I was pleased. I was very pleased.
But yeah, no, NXT was a really good show, so fair play. And then next week, obviously, is the big one, the follow-up, and Keith Lee and Adam Cole, and lots going on next week. But let's head over to AEW, the first night of Fyter Fest. We kicked it off with Wardlow and MJF against Jurassic Express. I think I'm tied between this and Io and Sasha being my favourite matches of the night. Like, I really love this opening tag match. I really love the MJF Wardlow kind of dissension story. Jurassic Express are so pure. And they got the win, and it was so lovely. What did you make of the opening match with Wardlow and MJF against Jurassic Express?
I loved it. I'm with you. This is probably even with Io and Sasha for me. And Oney Lorcan and Timothy Thatcher is, like, above them for my favorite match of the night. But this was great. You know how much I love Jurassic Express. I love that dinosaur man and his boy. And it was just so much fun, right? Like, it was a really fun opener to kind of, like, get you into it and get you jazzed. Because I watched this one live on Wednesday, and this was one of the matches that I was kind of looking forward to, because MJF, as often as he's all over the show, we don't see him wrestle that often. So it kind of feels like a thing, right? Yeah, which I like a lot. And Wardlow, too, you don't see him wrestle that often. I mean, I know I loved Wardlow versus Luchasaurus, and this was no different. Like, seeing those two big dudes just, like, beat the shit out of each other is extremely up my alley. I think Wardlow's really, really good. Like, I kind of wondered if he was just going to be big lumbering bodyguard dude when he came into AEW, because I wasn't familiar with any of his previous work. He is so good. And Luchasaurus is so good. And Jungle Boy is so good. And MJF is so good. And they're all just so good. And I loved the hell out of this. This was a bunch of fun.
I mean, even if you look at Luchasaurus, when he did the dive splash onto Wardlow on the floor.
Yeah.
Or, like, Wardlow throwing Marco Stunt off the ramp at Jungle Boy. Like, there was just so many good elements to it. And kind of like the Io and Sasha match, there was just, like, all the characters made sense. The shenanigans made sense. And it was just a really good time. So I was I'm with you. Like, Wardlow, like, in the last couple of weeks, I think people have just kind of realized that this guy really has something. Like, he could be a superstar, mm-hmm. for sure.
Like, he could be, like, world champion level good.
Yeah, he really is that good. AEW are doing a puppy battle royale next week, and I think I died.
Oh, yeah, we didn't mention that Sasha's dog came out with her, too, which I think is important to mention.
It is important to mention.
Great.
If I was on a Great American Bash, well, no, see, I was going to say I would bring Hulk, but I saw what happened to Farrow when he heard fireworks, and I don't think I could put Hulk through that.
Well, as long as there's not going to be pyro, but then I know your love for pyro, so you don't want to, like, not have pyro on the show. I can understand, as a dog parent, it must be a very difficult
decision.
I think
if I could get Hulk some, like, noise-proof, you know, headphones... Mm-hmm. But then, number one, he's not going to keep them on. Number two, yeah.
He doesn't really like things on his head, right?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. But anyway, yes, they've got a puppy battle royale on AEW next week. It should be fun.
There are dogs. You know how I feel about that.
The thing that I was, over both shows, right, and I thought both shows were really good, but the biggest surprise to me, pleasant surprise, I thought Hikaru Shida and Penelope Ford was really good. Really, really good. And the thing about Penelope Ford is she is improving. Like, you can see it here. I don't think anybody going into this expected this to be as good as it was. And I think it's a real testament to Shida for being an absolute pro. And from Penelope Ford to continuously get better. You know, it's like we've seen people like Lana and people like that who just don't get better. They just remain at this kind of basic
They just talk
level.
About how hard they're working, but they yeah. still kind of suck.
Whereas Penelope Ford has
It'd
just...
be like me trying to be an opera singer, you know? Like, I can work as hard as I want at that. It is not going to happen.
Just sometimes that's not the job for you. But yeah, I thought this was really, really good. I even bit for a near fall of Penelope Ford beating Hikaru Shida, which I thought was... I never thought I would think. I thought the Kip Sabian, kind of him on the outside, was kind of reminded me a little bit of Robert Stone, but like in a less, you know, dramatic, in-your-face, campy way. But I love
well,
this.
Well, and Kip Sabian is also like a wrestler on
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, so, but I love this.
Dynamic, because I thought the same about like Penelope Ford when she's with Kip Sabian can do bumps and stuff like Robert Stone has done. And now she's kind of transitioning into more of a wrestling role. I agree with you. I think she is improving leaps and bounds every time we see her. I think she is like, she hasn't been wrestling that long, what, like 4 years, 5 years, something like that?
I'm the wrong person to ask, but yeah.
I think it's something like that.
Say 4 or 5 years.
But I mean, it's not super long, and it's not like she's been on tons and tons of shows, right? Like, she has not been doing this as her full-time job for a long time. So it makes sense that she's going to be kind of like, she's going to be greener and she's going to, you know, look like she's newer at this. But I think working with people like Hikaru Shida is just going to be the best thing for her. And I think it's a testament to Hikaru Shida and why she is a good champion in AEW right now too, because she's had like really the best AEW women's matches that we've seen, right? Like that match with Nyla Rose was awesome. And then this match with Penelope Ford was awesome.
Shida's like being what I think they wanted Riho to be, but yeah. She wasn't.
But she's like good at it, actually.
Well, the thing, Riho was great in terms of getting like young girls to really enjoy her, but just it didn't click, and Shida clicks a lot more.
It just, like, Riho just didn't click as like a part of the roster, I guess. Like, she always felt more separate from it. And I think it was because, you know, she lives in Japan and she had a lot of other stuff going on, so she couldn't be on the show that often, all that kind of stuff. But Shida just feels more a part of things, I feel. And I really like her. Like, I like her a lot. And I thought this match definitely blew my expectations out of the water. Like, I've seen Penelope Ford be good. Like, I've seen glimpses of, like, her being very good at stuff. But there have been times with Penelope Ford matches where you can kind of see her going through spots, or you can see her thinking about it more, which, wrestling's hard, you know? Like, it is a very difficult thing to do. I'm not going to disparage anyone for that, but it's, you know, like, she still seemed to be in the learning process, and I think it's starting to click with her, and, like, she's going to be really, really good.
Look, nobody's happier than me that she's getting good. Like, I'm really happy. And we also had the big matches kind of kept coming, and I think you said something at the beginning which I kind of agree with. I think that the AEW show paced better, because it was, everything was kind of there for a reason, you know, whether it was the opening tag or the women's title match or the TNT title match or the tag match to determine the number one contenders for next week or the main event. It all kind of felt big. Mm-hmm. And I thought that Cody and Hager had a good match. I think that the weird thing is that I think because the Shida and Ford match over-delivered so much, that I kind of felt like I was like coming down a little bit during Cody and Hager, but I don't think that was their fault. I think it was just the pace and all of it. But I thought the match was good and the finish was pretty clever and kind of gave Hager some heat back. So I enjoyed it. What did you make of the Cody Hager match?
Yeah, I thought they did really well. It wasn't like my favorite match on the show. It wasn't like something that blew me away or anything like that. I don't understand why Jake Hager decided to just wear his underoos to the ring. Like, not really sure what that decision was all about.
Look, Jake Hager is in great shape, right? He's in great shape because he, you know, he does MMA and all that, but like, gotta question the gear. Like, what is going on with the gear?
It's a problem for me. Like, I mean, I think his wife kind of makes up for it in a way. Like, maybe they just spend more time getting her to be beautiful and amazing so she can just be like the most annoying prick at ringside. I think she's actually been kind of brilliant. as an addition to his act. I don't know how you feel about it. Like, I feel better about her being an addition to her to his act when she's not being, like, kissed by Dustin. So I appreciate that this Rhodes didn't go that way.
I like the idea that, like, whenever he's wrestling, she's like, I want you to beat this man. Then we will fuck.
That's exactly it, though, right? Like, didn't she say that? Like, you have to come home a winner?
Mm-hmm. You're not getting laid unless you win. Which, look, yes. I mean, what better way to motivate somebody?
Exactly. I mean, look at her. I'd want to fuck her.
Like, I mean, I wouldn't, but I get it. She's nice enough, you know, just...
Yeah.
Anyway.
She's obviously, she has put a lot of effort and money into that appearance, I feel.
Yeah, she has.
So,
she has.
God bless her. I applaud her effort and money, and I think she's done quite well. But yeah, like, I mean, obviously I did not expect Jake Hager to win the TNT championship, and Jake Hager did not win the TNT championship, and that was not a surprise to me. But I don't know, like, I enjoyed the match fine. I don't hate Jake Hager. I know a lot of people hate Jake Hager, and he is, like, kind of problematic as a human, but, like,
the thing is, you can't see to choose. This is the thing that I think is actually, I'm going to get a little bit political, but not really political. The problem is that I think a lot of people now only want to associate with people who feel exactly the same way about everything. And that's not really how the world used to work. Like, the world used to work that we kind of were able to have conversations. And, like, just because Jake Hager feels different politically to you, it shouldn't really affect. It'd be different if he was like Jackson Ryker, who's like on his Facebook page being like, Black people have it good, they shouldn't worry. Like, that's when it's like, okay, you know, please go to the sun and never return. But, like,
I mean, Jake Hager's been, like, very outspoken, like, in transphobic sorts of ways.
He has been problematic, and but I mean, again, it's like, that. I guess that's the line, where do you draw?
I mean, Dean Cain is, like, the reason I love Superman, and he's been an absolute ass on Twitter this week, and it's really hard. Like, it's just really hard. Like, take Twitter away from some people, I feel. But yeah, like, in terms of his wrestling and in terms of his character, like, in AEW, I kind of think he's a great character, like, a weirdly understated great character. Like, he is that weird silent dude who is a big brute who's going to be your bodyguard, but maybe read some poetry and then, you know, maybe want to have a title match. And he just, I don't know, like, he kind of sneaks up on you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree. But yeah, I thought the match.
I always liked Jack Swagger too. So
the match was decent though. I thought the match was decent. They had a clever finish. And then obviously I did love that, you know, like, all over social media it was like Hager's been suspended for punching the referee. It's like it's a fun dynamic.
And I don't think we've really seen anyone, like, we've seen some pretty atrocious calls from referees in AEW, but we've not really seen anyone, like, put their hands on a referee or, like, assault a referee for making a decision, right? So this is the first time, as far as I can remember?
This is the first time. I did love that Jake Hager's wife just didn't really seem to know what to make of him punching the referee out. But, like,
the thing is, like, he did technically lose the match, right? Like, he got disqualified.
He did.
So are they fucking?
But, I mean, that's... He should get her back to the hotel and pour some champagne ASAP. Because she sees that replay, she's not putting out. Again, the thing is, Hager was reacting to the loss. What's the thing we always talk about? People reacting to loss. And he reacted, so. We had the Private Party, Santana and Ortiz match. I really wish that Private Party were less clunky as a team than they are.
Yeah.
And, like, I also just feel like it's a massive waste of Matt Hardy to be just, like, their old guy that, like, gives them advice. Like, it's just not working for me. I like them. Like, I like Private Party. I like the gimmick. I like the idea. But
they seem a bit one note. And that's not always bad. Sometimes that can be good in wrestling. But I think it needs to be rounded out a little bit more. Because I do like them. And I think that they have some fun vignettes and stuff. Matt Hardy being with them just kind of seems like we didn't know where to put Matt Hardy. So we'll just put him here, I suppose, ?
That's about it. It's it didn't click for me, but I like Private Party. I wish that Santana and Ortiz were kind of doing more, but then the thing about having in AEW, there's so many tag teams, and obviously the big 8-man tag next week with FTR and the Bucks and stuff, like, you are now going to have a bunch of tag teams who are not in the title picture, so they're going to be forced to sort of create secondary team rivalries, which I'm here for.
I mean, it's like putting Rhea Ripley with Aaliyah and Robert Stone for a minute, right? Like, they have too many tag teams who are too prominent and too good at what they do, so not everyone can be in the title picture, which means you do have to create secondary stories, and they're doing it, which I appreciate. I just, there's something about Private Party that, like, I really like their song. I think they are fun, but I would like to see a little bit more from them. I really like Santana and Ortiz a lot. I think they're phenomenal.
I thought Jericho was great in commentary. The Canada jacket was amazing. He was really funny.
His jackets are...
He is a delight.
They give me life. Like, although, so good.
So I don't know if I've been in the minority here, right? I don't know if I've said this in the podcast. I don't think I've been as blown away by Taz's promos as some other people seem to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you haven't been as enthralled, for sure. Like, I've liked them more than you have, I think.
And he's fine. Like, I don't think it's bad. But, like, some people were acting like, oh my god, it's finally Taz is cutting these killer promos. And I'm like, they're okay. But here, when he was talking about, like, you know, Moxley and being a chicken shit and AEW don't run a sloppy shop, I was like, this was a killer promo. So I give he got me here. And I know they're doing the match with Cage and Moxley on the 15th to fight for the Fallen, but I feel like finally the Taz that everybody's been kind of banging on about the last couple of weeks, I got it this time.
That's great. Like, I'm glad, because I thought this promo was great, and I've enjoyed his promos leading up to this too. I think this was definitely the best one. I think putting him with Brian Cage has been just a great decision. He definitely adds to it. I think AEW is leaning maybe a little too far into everybody has an old dude for a manager. Like, maybe just slightly more than they need to have, but it feels like it almost balances out WWE, where, like, no one has a manager. So I don't know. I don't want to complain about it, but I'm just saying, like, maybe no more old dudes as managers. Maybe this is the cap. But Taz was great here, and I think that him speaking for Brian Cage is incredibly effective. And I mean, I did have to say, like, when he ended it with, I mean, who better than Brian Cage to be the AEW World Heavyweight Champion or whatever he said, I was like, like, maybe some other people.
I can give you, like, seven different names.
Yes, accurate. But bless Taz for believing in his client, and bless him for trying. And I'm not saying that because I hate Brian Cage in any way, shape, or form. It's just I don't know that I'm as enamored with Brian Cage as I am with other members of the AEW roster. But yeah, this promo was great, and it does make me want to see Cage versus Moxley. I also just really like the fact that Taz, in his smarmy way, is just calling attention to the real life situation at hand, right? John Moxley has been around someone with coronavirus. He's obviously been exposed to coronavirus. He has tested negative for coronavirus. He explained the whole situation, right? Like, Moxley's been tested twice. He's not come up positive. And if he were to travel to AEW, then he would be tested again, because AEW doesn't run a sloppy shop. Like that other company in Connecticut, you know how they suck at coronavirus testing, like, really hardcore? Yeah, that one is definitely the implication there. And it's real true. So I appreciate calling to attention the real-life situation, because that's something that just feels false in WWE right now, is that they won't talk about it and they won't clue you in on anything. And not that anyone's health is any of my business, but transparency as a company as to how you're dealing with this. Like, I don't just want platitudes and we are being safe. Like, how are you being safe and what are you doing? You know, and AEW being transparent about those things, I think, makes me more likely to be on their side. And Taz just, like, you know, calling Moxley a chicken shit when Moxley is doing the exact right thing that he should be doing makes me go, boo, Taz, you are incorrect there. I would like John Moxley to beat your client, sir.
Boo you, sir. I mean, AEW had a lot of kind of big stuff on the show. You had the opening tag, which was really fun. The women's match over-delivered. Cody and Hager, which felt kind of, you know, box office. And you had Jericho in commentary, the Taz promo. And then the main event was Omega and Paige against Best Friends. And I know you love Best Friends, so maybe you feel differently to me. I just never bought in any way that Best Friends had a chance to beat them. And I thought they had a good match, but I didn't. If I was watching live, and this is not a scenario that happens in my world because I don't have access to both shows live.
Mm-hmm.
But if I did, I would be watching NXT. Like, I would 100% be like...
Well, especially against Sasha Banks and Io Shirai.
So, but if you... You know, we talked about this on... I think it was the Overrun, where I said, like, they knew what the opposition was going to be. And I think they need, you know, in terms of pacing the show, they paced it really well, but I don't know if this was the best match to main event, because it didn't feel like a main event match to me, but I thought they did a good job. I thought they were kind of a no-win situation, because Best Friends haven't really been built up to be the team to beat them, and I think in the main event, I think it just felt a little flatter than I hoped it would. But am I missing something here? Did it work for you? Talk me through your thoughts.
I don't think you're missing anything. I do love Best Friends. I love them with all my heart. I always will. So I enjoyed this. Like, I definitely enjoyed it. But even I, Best Friends aficionada, did not expect Best Friends to beat Hangman Adam Page and Kenny Omega here. I didn't think they really had a chance. I think Best Friends are an interesting one because I never expected them to be as prominent as they are when AEW started. I expect them to be, like, probably more mid-card as a tag team. Not because they're not great, but just it seemed like, you know, like they can be kind of comedy and they can be a little kitschy and they can be like, they're just super fun, but they're not necessarily like blockbuster main event. But I think Best Friends association with Orange Cassidy has actually lifted up the tag team quite a bit. It almost feels like, I think we made this comparison before, but it feels like Rikishi and Too Cool to me. Like when we watch Retro, how Too Cool are like, they're great and they're fun. And like they did win the tag team championships for a little bit. And I think they completely deserved it. But without Rikishi, would they really be that prominent? And without Orange Cassidy, would Best Friends really be that prominent? I don't necessarily think that they would. And so I think that does kind of hurt them when they're against a tag team, like a blockbuster tag team like Kenny Omega and Adam Page and whatnot. But that's not to say the match was bad. Like, I enjoyed the match quite a bit. I think Io Shirai versus Sasha Banks was more compelling to me. So like, I'm just really bad at multitasking, so I have to pick one show and watch it, because if I'm flipping back and forth, then I will have to watch both shows more again than once. And I don't have time for that. So I just, like, I picked AEW, I watched AEW, I enjoyed the hell out of AEW, and I thought it was a fine main event. I think without the opposition, I don't think we'd be having the same conversation, if that makes sense. Like, I think if we just watched this as a program on its own without being up against NXT, we'd be like, oh no, that was fun, and it was a fine main event, and it was a good, like, it's, you know, for good television main event and stuff, and I know it's supposed to be Fighter Fest, but you know, like, I thought it was a fine thing to put as the main event of this show. I don't know what else you would have put as the main event of the show. Like, maybe Cody Hager, but does that really feel big enough?
I think Cody Hager would have felt bigger than this, and you would have had Jericho in commentary to add stuff to it. But, I mean, there is a kind of commendable thing about putting Best Friends in this match and kind of, you know, giving them that spotlight. I take that.
And they're a show that wants to highlight tag team wrestling too, right? So they want to intentionally say, hey, we want to put our tag teams in the main event. The way NXT, a lot of times, and Io and Sasha should have been the main event, like, obviously it should have been the main event But
are
NXT
you saying that
has
Dexter
been
Lewis
very
and
intentional about, like, putting women in their main events from time to time, because that is a statement they want to make. And that's something I appreciate about NXT over AEW, is their focus on the women's division. AEW seems to be more focused on the tag division than women's storytelling, as is evidenced by the fact that there's very little women's storytelling on the shows. So do you know what I mean? Like, they're highlighting different areas.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I think that the same with AEW is, I don't think the AEW quite have a women's match that's ready to main event the shows, but I think that they're on the way to it, which is good.
And I think they are working to build it. Like, I think that they've done better in recent weeks with Britt Baker's vignettes and with, like, Sheeta just being an awesome champion, which kind of surprises me a little bit how much I like her as champion, because I was really into Nyla Rose's champion, and her reign being so short kind of bummed me out. But, like, they're on their way. They just need to keep putting love and attention toward the women's division and not give up on it and not let them be overshadowed by all of the dude stories.
But overall, though, I mean, a really good night of wrestling to watch both shows. They were really fun.
It was awesome.
And we'll be talking about night two of Great American Bash and Fighter Fest. I should say, Sondra, there have been a couple of, well, there's been one spoiler that has been posted about the night two of Great American Bash.
So just, I haven't seen it.
So just
have
try
you seen
and
it?
Yes, I have.
Oh.
But, like, I would just avoid it just in case.
Because I know what it is. Like, I know what match it's referring to, but I have not seen the result.
Okay, that's fine. But yeah, so, I mean, just avoid that if you can. But
Maybe if you're a wrestler, right? And I'm just putting this out there.
Oh, so you, maybe you, if you're you a have wrestler heard
on a,
the you have
on
heard
a pre-taped
the
show, maybe it's not a good idea to take a picture after the main event on a pre-taped show and put it on your Instagram.
Well, there is a theory, and I don't know if
that it was intentional.
That it's fake, and it's deliberately fake to put a fake spoiler. I don't know if that's what it is, but like, I mean, that would be a very specific troll, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, we will be back next week talking about those matches. Sandra, what are the plugs that we can give people?
All right. You can follow me on Twitter at SandraRuthRW. Follow Kenny on Twitter at KennyMZ1985. Follow Inside the Ropes at Inside_the Ropes. Follow us on Instagram. I am at Sandra Ruth. He is at MCINTOKNNY. And at Inside_the Ropes is the address on Instagram as well. Patreon.com/InsideTheRopes is where you can support us the most. And we appreciate our patrons so, so much for getting us through this coronavirus time where we can't run live events. So it is your support that makes this happen. You get bonus content from us. There will be an ITR overrun in the next few days. There's a Power Slam overrun where Kenny and Finn go through old episodes of Power Slam, issues of Power Slam. I have this issue when I talk about comic book issues too. Like, I just call them episodes. I don't know why. Can't do words in my head, apparently. But they go through old issues of Power Slam and kind of relive the glory days and all that kind of stuff. Plus retro ITR, where we lose our minds going through the year 2000 currently. We're covering wrestling from 20 years ago that I've never seen, which is very interesting, to say the least. YouTube.com/InsideTheRopes is the other place you can support us by watching our videos, liking, subscribing, doing all of the things that make the algorithm pop our videos into more people's feeds so we can spread the joy.
It just came up on
my Instagram recently that, like, a year ago we had 90,000 subscribers, and like now we have 162,000 subscribers, and that's just really cool growth in a year, don't you think?
Yeah, no, it's great. And I should mention, actually, I don't want to say who, because if I say who, it's going to be, and it doesn't happen, but like we have an interview, an AEW interview this Wednesday that is with someone who is going to be in one of the big matches on Fighter Fest Night 2. So
I don't even know about this.
That's going to be going up. I'm just going to send it to you, Sandra, so you can react.
I'm anxiously awaiting your text.
That's going to be going up on Wednesday on our YouTube channel, so that's going to be great. And yeah, loads of stuff coming. We're trying to work and keep you guys entertained.
Oh, that's really exciting. Sorry, I just saw it.
So yeah, there's loads of stuff coming up. We're always trying to work hard to give you more stuff. And there's other stuff that we're working on that's really cool that hopefully we'll be able to talk about soon. And then,
really excited. It feels like one of those, like, oh, I have a secret situations.
And also live shows. Like, we have plans that we are literally waiting until the world is open again till we can do them. Because at the moment, we've got the Kevin Owens show, which is rescheduled to November. That is when we are aiming to run that show. We have it planned to run socially distant so that we are taking all the precautions. I just don't think right now that it is a good idea for me to book a new tour and put it on sale and do all that stuff if I'm not 100% sure that I can do it yet. So
there's too much up in the air to be like putting forth new efforts in that way.
Yeah,
we have other stuff we're working on, so it's not like your energy is, you know, being wasted. It's just being redirected.
It will become apparent that work has been being done pandemic era.
Teases, man.
But that's the thing, that like the one thing I will say is like in the coronavirus era is like it is making people kind of figure out shit they wanted to do that they've not done yet. So and that's always a good thing. But anyway, so to play us out, I guess we should play, we always play Io Shirai's. Let's play Sasha Banks' theme, because she came to NXT and rocked it, so, and Ben Williams will be going insane. So here is Sasha Banks' theme tune. Thank you for all your support, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye!
Bye! Yes, yes, y'all, so fresh, y'all. Snoop Dogg with Sasha Banks, we the best, y'all. Make way for the new, what it do? And if you in the way, let me say she coming for you.
Thumbs up, hands up in the air. When I say hail, you say yeah. Hail, yeah. Hail, yeah. S-A-S-H-A, how you do that? Damn, she's a legit boss, but y'all knew that. The big boss dog, yeah, I had to do that. That's my family and we so G. Bow down to the new champ of WWE.